There's an old Chinese proverb which says, those who can't do, teach. And I'm an area rep in Tidal, but I'm never in my area anymore. So I'm talking from past experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit behind the times, I'm sure. But I feel a little bit like, you know, like you were when you had your first workshop, your first Navigator conference, and you figure everybody probably knows more than you do. And I'll give you an overview of what we plan to do here. And I've found out since I got here that some of you don't plan to be here for all three sessions. Is that right? Are there some of you who don't plan to be here for all three sessions? Yeah. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be here for all three. And so we've built this thing so that, you know, it's important that you be at all three. But since some of you are not, and I understand there is a conflict in the schedule on Wednesday, what I plan to be covering today is basically objectives, the objective of the area ministry. And then Warren George, who's a real expert in the work in an area, who's still a little bit closer to the grassroots thing than I am, is going to chair the second and third sessions, and Hal Denny's going to help. He's a super area rep type with a lot of gray hairs and a lot of experience. And Warren, if you could just in a couple, three sentences kind of describe what the second session and third session is from your point of view. You know, some of you may want to change your mind about which session you miss. But we have designed the thing to so that, you know, it'd be good if you got to all three, and I realize there's a lot of competition from other workshops. But Warren, if you could kind of describe what we're going to do in the second and third one, it might help.
The second section will cover an overview of the responsibilities of an area rep, and then just how an area is established going from the very beginning, right on step by step, what you do at each stage, and how to get the thing off the ground and rolling, and a mid-course correction, and how to evaluate whether you're on target going. Then the last session will be any loose ends from that second session we feel like well on, plus training PCP for teamwork, and also supervising and developing contact points.
Okay, we just had to kind of guess the kind of person who would be in this this workshop. But the way it was designed was that those that probably we wouldn't have anyone who are in contact points. That was the workshop, you know, for campus ministry or military ministry. And what we've designed this thing is for an area representative and actually directed toward what we would kind of consider a full-blown super area. And we think Hal Denny's kind of got a good illustration of that or making good progress toward that. And so the last two sessions, we're using Hal Denny's area as kind of a prototype. And this first part is, in my mind, pretty much theoretical. And we don't want to wait till we get to the end for you to ask all your questions. So I'd, you know, just stop me at any point and ask a question. In this first part, I'd kind of like to give an overview. It's very theoretical, an overview of kind of a where you start in your thinking and then kind of how we end up with our schedule. And we're not thinking of the special ministry type area rep. There are some of those around who have their own unique types of ministries because of their gifts and abilities or a special assignment or something. But we really have tried to come up with what we consider a typical U.S. Navigator area representative.
Not that close to that thing.
And I've never been outside the Northern Division, so you have to take, you know, what we say. I don't know if Warren's ever been outside the division or not, but you have to take what we say also in light of the fact that we're brainwashed to think a certain way, and there may be differences. So I trust there'll be no offense, and feel free to ask any question you like. And also, the NAV work, as you know, is very dynamic. It's more dynamic than it was when I met the NAV 16 years ago. And things are changing. The way we do things are changing. And some of the things I say may already be out of date where you are, or maybe out of date 2 or 3 years from now. But it's kind of as we see it right now in the Northern Division, and what we feel is very typical.
Hello, 1, 2, 3,
so you have somewhere on page 3 or 4 this illustration.
Pretty close to full mount. But you notice something you're going to have on this page?
I thought you had it. Do you have it? I don't have mine in there.
Okay.
I think I've got it here. Yeah, I got it. And I'd just like to say a few things about personal goals and organization goals, because I have about a dozen staff guys, full-time staff guys, some single and some married, that I'm responsible for. And I know there are conflicts that arise, and I'd just like to say that I feel it's very, very important that a guy come to see and believe strongly before God that his personal goals are consistent with the NAV organization goals. And I think that a man's personal goals are made up primarily of what God has spoken to him about, the promises God has given him from the Word regarding his life and ministry, and then what he sees to be his gifts and calling. And so somehow out of all of this, he comes up with kind of his personal goals, what he feels God is saying to him to do, what God wants him to do. And it's very important that a guy hear God say, you know, go and make disciples and not just the navigators. And my personal observation is that it's a lot easier nowadays to recruit guys to the navigator work than it was 10 to 15 years ago. And I'm not sure how spiritual it is, but I suspect, I was talking with Scotty about this a day or two ago, and Scotty feels that just the generation in which we live, you know, a lot of guys feel like, well, it's a great humanitarian thing to do to serve Christ, and materialism may not be as attractive for some guys as it is for others. So we want to be sure that a guy really has heard God say, go and make disciples, and God has called him to the ministry, and that ought to line up with what the objective of the Navigator organization is. And I think the organizational goals are kind of a combination of the stated objectives of the Navigators and kind of our end product we're looking for, and then also the profiles that we use, kind of snapshots of people's lives, like people who are in follow-up, people who are what they look like when they're disciples, what they look like when they're a disciple-maker, and so forth. So the end objectives plus kind of the interim objectives make up the organizational goals. And somehow there's just kind of a fusion of these personal goals and organizational goals, and we come up with kind of what a navigator should do out there in, you know, Fort Campbell or Fort Knox, Kentucky, or what have you. We come up with his area representative responsibilities. And I've had some time with some of my staff recently on personal goals, particularly lifetime goals, and I find that most of my guys don't really have lifetime goals. And I'm not going to spend any time on personal goals, but if in your own life you haven't really spent time with your wife and with God and really done some thinking on a matter of lifetime goals, I'd encourage you to do that. It'd be worth a day with the Lord in the very near future to try to nail down what are your lifetime goals. And the best I've been able to figure it out, it helps to think in terms of Luke 2:52, I believe it is. You know, Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. And those four areas are good areas to figure out what your lifetime goals are. And I've only really worked on mine twice. The first time was hard as nails, and the second time was still pretty tough. to try to figure out how I want to end up. What are my lifetime goals? Someone challenged me not long ago to write my obituary as a part of my... Man, that's tough as nails, you know? And it's not easy, and I suspect that most of us really need to do some more work on our lifetime personal goals and then see if they really line up with what the navigators are trying to do. Because sooner or later, you will face the issue, and preferably sooner, on whether your lifetime goals, what God really wants you to do, is consistent with what God is calling the navigators to do. So the time to face that probably is now or earlier, and not later. I just finished Tim LaHaye's book on transformed temperaments, and he has an interesting little chapter in there, or section on goals. And here's what he says: man is a goal-striving being by nature. If he has no goal, he does not strive. If you would be a motivated, spirit-filled Christian, ask the Spirit of God to give you short-range, medium-range, and long-range goals. And Tim says from his observation over the years of people who don't have specific stated goals have little or no motivation. And that's just about all I want to say on personal goals, and that is just the importance of really knowing what God is telling you to do, and then see how they really line up. An industrialist by the name of Doherty said, quote, "I can hire men to do everything but two things, think and do things in the order of their importance." And if we don't know what our goals are, our personal goals and the organization goals, is not very clear in our mind, then we're probably not going to do things in the order of their priority. And so that's all I really want to say on personal goals. Transform temperaments.
Brad, just let me toss in something.
Yes, speak up so they can hear you.
Gene Tabor was doing some research on this idea of goals and motivation out in the Philippines. And I think that statement would be qualified to the Western world. And there are some other factors that would enter in a culture that is not developed like ours is. And I just toss it in for people who may be going overseas to think that may need to be modified in certain situations.
Yeah, can anybody else speak to that? Do you know what he's trying to say?
That the Eastern cultures don't necessarily have the same cause and effect type of thinking going on.
Okay, could be. Okay. Well, what I'm trying to point out is just the importance of what God is telling me to do is consistent with what God's leading the navigators to do. And so, you know, the combination of these, we come up with what an area rep should do out there on the job. And I think my observation, this may be our Western mentality, but my observation is that guys who ignore personal goals or don't have any, he tends to become frustrated and unhappy and uptight and so forth. And I know a guy right now, he's got all kinds of personal goals and things he wants to do, but he has a little difficulty accepting what the navigators want to do. And so there's conflict. And if he ignores the organizational goals, then the regional director is not going to be happy. And he's going to be frustrated. So there needs to be a, you know, belief that God has drawn us together. There should be a mutual concern, both by the man himself and by the navigator organization. And of course, nowadays, the navigator organization is probably the regional director, the guy closest to the scene. But there needs to be a mutual concern about how he spends his time. I mean, the regional director's concerned, and he should be concerned himself that he's making the best use of his time to do what God has called him to do and to do what the organization wants him to do, and he'll be most happy if he understands that and and he is making the best use of his time. And I try to encourage my guys to think in terms of a minimum of a 40-hour work week. And of course, most of them work more hours than that, but a minimum of 40 hours given to the accomplishment of the NAV objective. And make sure he spends his time to that end, to accomplish the objective. Why don't you, just for a little practice right now, on one of your pages there, maybe on the back of this sheet or on the bottom of it, why don't you write verbatim from memory the navigator objective? Word perfect with reference. Why don't you try that? Word perfect, the stated navigator objective, and we'll see how you do. That's the starting point. Okay? If I remember correctly, it's the primary aim of the navigators is to help fulfill Christ's great commission by making disciples and developing disciple makers in every nation. And of course, is that right? Is that word for word? And of course, the three basic concepts that I see there is making disciples and developing disciple makers and in every nation. Those are the concepts that stand out to me. But there's some very important words that will affect an area representative and how he does his work, and that is, for example, the aim. That's our end objective, what we're shooting for. And the primary aim, the word primary is very important because that is what I'm going to really major on. And there's always a lot of other things that take up our time and claims on our time, but that's what I'm really going to major on. So the primary aim is to help fulfill Christ's great commission, make disciples and develop disciple makers in every nation, which means world vision, for example, and raising up missionaries is going to be a part of our ministry, part of our responsibility. So that's our starting point, the stated objective of the navigators. And of course, most of you probably have the little exegesis description of some of those terms and so forth. But as an area representative, my job is to see that the NAV objective is accomplished in my area. And I think probably most of us here in this room are area reps, and we do have the burden to do that. We don't want to primarily do our own thing and hope that the navigators will kind of find a place for me, but we do believe God has called us to do that, to help fulfill Christ's great commission by making disciples and developing disciple makers in every nation. So in the Northern Division, and I'm not sure, what other divisions use and so forth, but in the Northern Division, we use an illustration. Some call it the pipeline, and I call it the telescope. But we use an illustration that both describes the scope of the responsibilities of an area rep and also basically describes his activities, how he will primarily spend his time. So that this pipeline or telescope, whichever you prefer to call, this arrow, this kind of bracket here shows that the responsibilities of an area rep extend not only from evangelism, follow-up, making disciples, but also, in some cases, it extends to preparing guys for contact points. In other cases, it extends to actually supervising and overseeing contact points. It depends on where the area rep is in his growth and length of service and also in his gifts and abilities. Some area reps don't oversee contact points in the Northern Division, and some do. Some have one contact point, two contact points, three contact points, and so there's all different types. But in the Northern Division, an area rep's responsibilities extend to at least preparing guys for contact points, and in some cases, supervising contact points. And also, basically in the Northern Division, the direction we're moving is that his final responsibility will be to prepare guys and oversee guys in contact points. We'll include what we call, I think this is our own term, we call career DMs, quote unquote. These are disciple makers who have succeeded in making disciples. And because of a number of factors, and we have a, you know, a profile for a career DM, but because of a number of factors, either because of he doesn't feel God has called him or we don't feel God has called him, for some reason he will not go on the staff, but he will go and as a career DM he will he'll be one of us, he'll stay on our evaluation sheets, he will be a part of our ministry. He may take a real small campus someplace and he'll have a full-time job, or he may do a number of things. He may be in a high school work, etc. But we call him a career DM, which means we're not career planning him to be with the Navigators. And then also the preparing of people to go with other works and helping them find their place in the body of Christ. And God is really blessing us in the Northern Division in this way. We just last year finished training a couple that went to the Philippines with new tribes. We're very excited about them. We have several people going with Wycliffe, and we're excited about our contribution to other works, which is a dead-end street. We're finished with them, and that's why I put a little bracket there to close that thing. In other words, they go with other works. But the responsibilities of an area rep in the Northern Division is we'll oversee all of this plus career DMs and contact points, depending on the gifts and abilities of the area rep. And not long ago, I had a little debate with a guy about, well, is the job of an area rep just to oversee contact points or just to work with DMs and the DMs do the rest, or what is his responsibility? And we think the scope of his responsibility is to oversee and direct the whole scope of the Navigator work and to make sure at every stage the right kind of things are being done, the right kind of people are being produced, people meet the profiles and so forth. And we have specific profiles for every person along the way. Like, I think this is probably a Northern Division deal here, but we, even growing disciples, we have what we call D1s and D2s to try to figure out where they are and what we want to do with them. A D1 is a young disciple, and he's being helped in the discipleship traits and so forth, and a D2 is a person, that disciple who's been helped in all of the basic discipleship traits. He's been helped in man-to-man. He's growing in heart, vision, and know-how, and we're going to try to help him become a disciple-maker. We're going to major on him. And so we have even broken that down to try to figure out, and we have profiles for a D1, D2, a profile for a DM, and I'm not sure how much is divisional and how much is US-wide at this point. So I'm trying to kind of tell you what we're doing. And we believe the area representative's job is to oversee and see that all that takes place. The right kind of men are being produced, the right things are being done, and so forth. To be sure that people have not only balanced lives, that we don't just have evangelists, but we have balanced lives, but also that there's balance in the ministry. That there's not just evangelism going on, but that there's healthy follow-up and disciple-making, etc. That the whole area, the scope of his responsibility. Comments? Questions?
Brett,
yes?
40 hours, does that include like, time in word and so forth? Or is that time in the ministry responsibilities that you
outlined? Okay. I just talked with Bob Sheffield on this, and in both my region, in my territory and Sheffield's territory, we will give a guy up to 10 hours a week in Bible study out of that 40. And a basic reason for that is because we expect him to spend more time in the Word probably than the businessman who's working a 40-hour week. Plus, all the guys I know spend more than 40 hours a week in the ministry. I mean, like in total Navigator work. So we'll consider that when we help him plan his schedule. We'll give him 10 hours in the mornings to spend on the Word. You know.
How much attention do you feel?
Can't hear you.
How much attention do you feel an area rep should give to the career DM?
Well, you don't have any career DMs, do you? In your situation, you do? Who has some career DMs out right now who they're tied in and they're fully trained but they're out doing their own thing, and we want to keep them part of our thing and feel that they're a part of us? Does anybody have very many of those? You're asking how much time do you give?
Yeah, I, like, these guys, they call me up and
Yeah. Okay, in our profile, we consider that he is fully trained, that he does not need any further training. And so he goes out and he has his own little area of responsibility. And at this point in my region, it's small campuses. We're giving them small campuses where we've never planned to have a navigator. And he takes a buddy with him who's probably a disciple, maybe a D2, probably a disciple. And there's certain activities that he brings his people to, rallies, conferences, and so forth, but we're not giving him any training. And about the only thing we give him is let him get in on certain activities and a periodic encouragement. And probably he'll travel in. The area rep wouldn't travel out. He'll travel in to get a little time, but not to major on him, not to spend a whole lot of time with him. He is fully trained. He has made disciples. He wants to throw his lot in with the NAS, but he won't. He'll have a full-time job, and he will not require much attention.
Brett, I think we have a guy running Quantico forces in that category.
Yeah. Could be.
He runs it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have to see him.
The promise we're claiming on this is in Ohio, the state of Ohio, we have 50 campuses alone. 50 campuses that we never plan to have a navigator on. They're just, you know, little small campuses with 1,000 students. And so we're claiming Exodus 1:7, which says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Because within 50 miles of any place in Ohio, there's a small campus. And we're hoping that, you know, we'll have career deums on every one of those. It's a guy who teaches school or has an occupation, and he is responsible for that campus. And that's the direction we're moving, and, you know, that could change. But that's what we're doing right now. And we have about 7 or 8 right now in my region who are doing that, doing a good job. And we're kind of excited about that. And in some cases, they kind of tie in with a contact point or an area rep, kind of whoever is the nearest to them. But this is something very recent with us, because in the past, if they didn't want the staff and they left, we just kind of took them off the evaluation list and no longer considered them a navigator. Well, we have a stated objective in the Northern Division of keeping 90% of all of our trained disciple makers tied in with the navigators. And we've done it over the past couple of years. And we will say, we want your product, we want you to consider yourselves one of us, we want you to tie in with us, and we want you to go over this little campus and do that. And so far, we're having good success with it. Bill?
I was wondering, what kind of involvement do career DAs have in local churches?
In local churches? That's up to them. We would assume that it'd be just like a navigator. He'd tie in and make some contribution. And
so the main question of their ministry is the navigator.
Yep. Yep. That's what they want to do. They're guys who want to do our thing. We're asking him to do it, however, without flying the navigator flag. In other words, he goes on a small. One of the criteria is that he's willing to labor without flying our flag, which means he doesn't go on campus. First thing he does is go over and try to get the organization registered on campus, you know. And probably he won't receive gift income. He may get a little bit, but he'll have a full-time job, and he'll just go there and make disciples. And it's working. We got a bricklayer at a little college in West Liberty, West Virginia, who has 40 to 50 people out to rallies and Bible studies, and every now and then they send us a, you know, sharp young guy or gal in for further training, and I'd like to have the land filled with those kind of people. And but that's just kind of something we're doing. Okay.
Oh. Do you have some of your career DMs working with people other than college students, like young couples?
They could work with anybody they wanted to, but we're giving them a pool of manpower. In fact, one of the guidelines is we want to help him pick the place.
So you are giving him a
Yes, we are. Like, some of you may not have any of Roy Boyce. Well, Roy Boyce is fully trained. We can't do anything else with him. He's hopeless. And so we're asking him to go over to a little place called Vincennes University. Is that it? Vincennes or something like that. And we're picking places we think are good to be, you know, a small technical school or something like that. And Roy's the kind of guy, man, he wants to do the navigator ministry, but because of lack of balance in his life, leadership ability, et cetera, you know, there's a mutual understanding that at this point, you know, God hasn't equipped him for a contact point. And so he wants to go over and do the navigator thing. So we're giving him a little school and telling him, that's your pool, and we want you to go there and do it. We want you to consider yourself a navigator, and we want your product. If you can produce disciple makers, we'd like to have them. And so we're encouraged with that. We've stated in one of our guidelines is that his missing or weak gifts most likely will be either A, leadership ability, B, recruiting ability, or C, emotional or mental capacity. It's just kind of like a, you know, there's just a combination of things there that he just doesn't have what we think it takes to be a navigator. And in the Northern Division right now, we are not sending guys into contact points, but we don't have every reason to believe he will end up 3 years later an area rep. That's a Northern Division guideline. We don't send a guy to a contact point unless we think mutually that God is leading him already to give his life to working with the navigators, and that we have every reason to believe he can be an area representative, 50% of which will be asked to go overseas. So we're trying to produce guys who can be available to go overseas and represent the navigators. What's that? What three things?
You said he lacks leadership, emotional, or...
Well, I have four guidelines, and the fourth one has that he most likely will lack leadership ability. Like, I mean, he's got some leadership ability, but not, you know, a real successful experience in recruiting guys. You know, some guys can recruit one or two over a 2-3 year period, and other guys can recruit 20. They're just, you know, he's weak in the area of leadership or recruiting ability or just capacity. It might be emotional, mental, or spiritual capacity. And this is an original draft, and this will change as time goes on. Our profile is that he is a trained disciple maker. He does have a strong commitment to the navigators and a desire to do the nav ministry, and he is willing to fly, not to fly the navigator flag, just go and make disciples. And I didn't intend to spend that much time on it, but it's something we're excited about because we are producing a lot of people who don't end up with the navigators, and so we're trying to figure out, what do you do with them? Well, right now, we're trying to assign them to pools of manpower so they'll know that the navigators have officially asked me, to give my life working with them. In other words, we are interested in them. We used to say, well, you're fully trained, go and do what you want to do. So he'd move to another city because he kind of want to go and do his own thing, and that's the last you ever hear of him. And it hadn't worked too well. Dan?
Well, how would you describe your commitment to him?
I don't have anything else to add to it other than we consider him a part of our movement. We want his product, and we're excited about him being there. And I don't know. Warren, do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, we're resource in terms of
counsel. Right now. In my territory right now, we will receive gifts for him if they come in, but he doesn't solicit money, and he will work a full-time job. We want him to settle down in his occupation, probably think in terms of five or ten years there, and maybe life. And if he doesn't have a wife, we expect him to find a wife, you know.
You want this man to be independent?
Yes.
That's
right. I got here in one of our guidelines, he will not be directed by a staff man. I will not tell him what to do. I will not give him any direction. You know, if he comes for some counsel and somebody, I might help, but I'm not going to tell him what to do. It's his thing. You are fully trained. You go and do your thing. Well, we need to move on. Just for purposes of kind of an overall view and summarizing, I see an area rep's responsibilities involving primarily evaluation of people, and I think his ministry is primarily people. I see it as being primarily evaluation and selecting, or whatever synonym you want to use, but he evaluates people where they are and selecting in terms of what to do. Once I've made an accurate evaluation, and Warren and I were talking yesterday that a big part of an area rep's difficulty in running his area is inadequate evaluation. And boy, I can remember, I've been around Nash for 16 years, and I can remember, you know, what it's like kind of, you know, guess and try to figure out what you're doing and so forth. And this, I feel, has done miracles for us in just helping us evaluate. This is the most fantastic evaluation tool that we have ever come up with. And its probably greatest value, in my mind, is to help us evaluate. We figure out where people are in their spiritual life and what they need. And, you go from step A to step B to step C and not from step A to disciple maker or contact point, you know, because he's a nice guy or something. But we figure out where a guy is and where we want him to go, whatever our next evaluation period is, the next year or so. And then accurate evaluation, and then selecting, or what I'll call selecting. It's not just picking men, but it's also selecting what to do to get the guy from A to B. It's like where to evangelize, what kind of evangelism to do, how much time to spend with certain people all along the line, who am I going to concentrate, and that sort of thing. It's those kind of decisions that an area rep has to make. He has to evaluate people. Are they disciples, D1s, D2s, disciple makers, potential contact points, team leaders, what are they? And then secondly, what do they need? What do each one of them need all along the line? And it's the area rep's responsibility to make sure that the right things are happening at the right time to the right people all along the line. And that's not an easy job. Let's face it. I mean, you know, you really got to take much prayer and fasting and planning and so forth. And these profiles have been fantastic to help us accurately evaluate people and figure out what to do. And so, after I've evaluated where my people are, and I have it very clear in my mind where they are, then from that I go to my objectives. Determine what are my objectives. Now, I'm speaking from experience, and I have a few guys in my territory who have really had heart problems with objectives. Now, sometimes it's a guy's temperament and his training and so forth, but I can remember in the Northern Division when Mayhall started really talking about objectives. Now, I didn't particularly react because I thought, man, you know, that's going to help us really figure out where we're going. And I really had a heart to do the right thing and do it in the right way and so forth. So I didn't have too much difficulty. But some guys have really kind of fought the idea of objectives. In fact, I've been dealing with one of my staff guys on it recently, and he said, I just don't want to write objectives. I'd rather trust the Spirit of God to lead me and so forth. And I think some guys have the feeling that objectives, you know, is the regional director forcing on me and trying to force me to do the regional director's thing. And just for what it's worth, I feel that objectives are very simply what God is calling you to do. And you better know that. And if you can't write it down, you probably don't have it very clear. And this one staff guy of mine, if he were in the audience, I'd share it. There's no secret about it. He is one of the most subjective men you will ever meet in your life. And the more subjective a guy is, the more important it is that he have it down in writing because he will fly by the seat of his pants, if you please. I mean, he will operate out of his hip pocket, and he'll do what comes naturally. And he will not use his time wisely, and he will, you know, the tyranny of the urgent will overcome him. And if you are a subjective person, it's much more imperative that you put it down in writing. And so it takes you 2 days to get it down in writing. It's very important that you know what it is you want to do and accomplish. And the more subjective you are, the tougher it is. And it's important to you most of all, but it's also important to your regional director because he wants to be sure you're on target. He wants to be sure you're accomplishing an NAV objective because sooner or later, if you're not accomplishing an NAV objective, you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be writing letters of resignation and so forth. So you might as well, you know, get your hearts together with your regional director and figure out, yes, this is what we want to do. This is what God is asking us to do. And some of my guys feel like, well, boy, you know, if I get all these objectives written down, when Brad comes around, he's going to check on me and make sure I'm accomplishing my objective. Well, that's right. That's exactly right, you know. Because, you know, we want the area rep to make sure he accomplishes his personal objectives and the navigator objectives. And he'll be happy. If I can't state it in writing, it's probably not clear in my mind. And I really believe that. And I don't plan to get into the little specifics of how to write objectives other than to say that I have some guidelines, about 10 or 12 guidelines on how to write, just how to write out objectives, which most of you have probably seen. And we got them from someplace in the past. Probably came from headquarters or somewhere, but they're not original in the division. And if you'd like to see those, I could show them to you. Most of you probably already have seen them. It's simply what I'm trusting God to do. That's my objective. What I'm believing God to do. And if a guy tells me he doesn't have any objectives, I say, you mean you don't know what God wants you to do? That in my mind is what objectives are. It is a snapshot a year from now, or whatever your period, it is a snapshot of what you want to see God to do with people who are here and here and here and here and here. What is it you want God to do? It's ministry priorities. In other words, of all the 40 hours a week or more I had to spend, how am I going to spend my time so that I will accomplish what I want to accomplish? And for me, objectives are liberating rather than binding. It took me a while, but I am thrilled with my personal and ministry objectives for this next year. And if I accomplish them, I'll be very satisfied. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And if you're not excited about your objectives, maybe you got the wrong objectives. But the importance of objectives is that you will accomplish what the NAVs want you to accomplish, since you have thrown your lot in with them. And it's also to help you accomplish that which you really feel God is calling you to do. Okay, just a little bit on the subject of objectives. Most of the guys that I know in the Northern Division right now are writing two types of objectives. They're writing qualitative objectives and they're writing quantitative objectives. Now, the quantitative objectives are very simple. In a sense, it's like Joe Jones is a growing Christian and we want to see Joe Jones become a D1 or a D2. So our quantitative objective is we have 10 growing Christians that we want to see become disciples, or we have so many D2s we want to see become DMs. And it's generally just where is he now and where do I want him to be a year from now. So we call those quantitative objectives. How many disciples do we have that we can believe God that they will be D2s or disciple makers at the end of this year? That's what we call quantitative objectives. And by qualitative objectives, or at least the way I understand qualitative objective, is Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flock, and look well to your herds. Now, Al Andrews can't expect one of his team leaders to know the state of the whole flock at the University of Illinois. And it's the job of the area representative to know what is the overall need of his flock. So usually by qualitative objective, the guy takes a good look at his area after it's kind of all put together. He has his evaluation sheet, and he figures out that